comes those to Curry. Curry gets it ahead to Gretzky. Gretzky going in. Sutter trying to get back. Gretzky with a shot. He scores!
They're going to try here. Rushing to center and down the wing. It is Marshall! Scores! Marshall! Scores!
Moving on. Rendemore at the far side. That's broken. Here's a break. It is Pisani. Scores! A shorthanded goal for Pisani.
Here comes Connor McDavid, shifting right by Riley, right in. What a goal! My goodness, what a goal by Connor McDavid!
Hey, hey, welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas. On this Monday, October 19th, of course, the Locked On Oilers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You want to connect with me, hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan, at Locked On Oilers, and give us a follow at Locked On Pods. No guests today on the show, not much going on in terms of news, especially when it comes to your Edmonton Oilers. So just going to do a quick recap of the weekend that was in sports, and we'll also play around with the Oilers lines and decor here. It's extremely early, I know, but it looks like the team is pretty much set out of maybe one or two, I think, minor moves. We'll get into all that as well, but let's have some fun. We'll keep it short today on this Monday. Let me know once we get through the lines and all that what your lines would be, and you can let me know on Twitter, of course, at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Don't forget to subscribe and download on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. As last week on the Friday show, as joined by Wyatt Zeager, of course, the voice of the White Court Wolverines, and Brendan Clark from TSN 1260. It was a great conversation. We went in depth on the Oilers. A lot of downloads on that one so far, so if you've missed out, make sure to check that one out. Great, great content by the guys, and once again, I thank them for joining me. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get a ton of news. You know, the Oilers, I think once we get closer to the season, or we have a date, you know, just a tentative date or whatever, I think that's when we'll know what happens. Again, Oscar Clef Fum's a big wild card here. We don't know his decision yet. It seems likely like he's going to sit out the year from everything we've heard from Kenny Holland. So we wait for that money, see what the Oilers do. But we'll kick it off talking about the Oilers' forward lines. A lot of interesting parts there as well. And defensively, I mean, not a lot of options right now. Who are you throwing out against the other team's best lines and all that? So I want to hear from you too. Let me know what you think. Extremely early, but this is pretty much the team you're going to see. So it's going to be fun to play, play around with the lines here and juggle them up and see where everyone lands. And what a weekend in sports it was. Of course, the LA Dodgers come back from 3-1 to defeat the Atlanta Braves 4-3 on Sunday night. Hell of a game there. They'll take on the Tampa Bay Rays, who won on Saturday after blowing a 3-0 lead to the Houston Astros. I think everyone was happy there, no doubt about that. And I gotta say, I know this is a hockey podcast and I will get to the hockey news, but Lomachenko Lopez fight yesterday in boxing, I'm not the biggest boxing guy, but that was awesome. A great card. It was just great to see the young man kind of, you know, just he picks up the win. I thought he won. I'm not a boxing expert, but I know a lot of the hardcore boxing guys out there, I thought Lomachenko should have won. But that was fun, and it was free. It was on TSN, so great stuff there. And I got to talk about this Edgar Berlanga. He won his 15th straight fight. All 15, he's knocked out his opponent, and all 15, is he's done it in under 2 minutes. It was unbelievable. I never heard of this guy till yesterday, and then watching it there, I was like, can he do it again? And he did. Like, this guy's got a heavy punch. And now, I don't know how talented he is or how up in the ranks he is, but I mean, that is damn impressive. So Edgar Berlanga is his name. Check him out. He's from New York. He's just a powerful, powerful hitter, and 15 straight wins, 15 straight knockouts, and all in under 2 minutes. A guy to definitely keep an eye on. But it was a fun night. And then you flipped over to the UFC and you saw Brian Ortega against the Korean Zombie. What a fight. Brian Ortega looked absolutely fantastic in that. So it was just a fun weekend in sports. I mean, when you get away from the hockey sometimes, it's kind of nice. You know, I don't watch a lot of boxing, but like I said, it was a free card. It was a big fight and it was fun. And even like, you know, getting to find out about a guy like Edgar Berlanga was great. And then the UFC is always fun. So yeah, baseball now heading to the World Series. The NFL got through another Sunday. We'll see what happens this week with COVID cases and all of that. But to the NHL, the cool news, Jake Neighbors signs his entry-level deal with the St. Louis Blues. So good on the Edmonton Oil Kings forward there. It'll be interesting to track his pro career once he's done with the Oil Kings. Of course, they've set a date of January 8th to get the WHL season started. Cody Ceci signs a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Penguins worth $1.25. Again, you know what I didn't like? Everybody was mocking this deal on social media. Media and fans alike, and listen, to each their own. I'm not the Twitter police here. You can do what you want on there, but Cody Ceci is an NHL defenseman. He's a bottom pairing guy, and this for the Penguins, I mean, with the addition of Matheson, and you already got Letang and John Marino there, I think you got a nice group, the Pedersen defenseman as well. But he's going to play in your third pair, and he might be the seventh, and it's for 1 year, and it's just over $1 million. It's so low risk that I kind of like it, and good for Cody Ceci earning another one-year deal, and he's only 26 years old. Is he the sexiest player now? Is he going to score a ton of points? No. But I kind of like it. He's going to give him depth and, you know, a guy that's played a ton of games in the NHL. And I think that's a nice little add for the Pens. And Matt Greslick re-signs with the Boston Bruins on a four-year deal worth $14.75. Another nice defenseman. I know earlier on in the podcast, I talked to Sean Hutchin, who covers the Boston Bruins, and I asked him who would kind of replace the Krug minutes and power play time. And he said Matt Greslick. So this player has really come into his own. He's a nice little defenseman, so he gets a four-year deal. And I know this news broke after I released my podcast on Friday, but Jumbo Joe to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hey, good on him for the league minimum. He can still play. It's great to see, but let's be honest here. He is, I just don't see a fit. And I know Craig Button on the Gregor Show said exactly the same thing. But yeah, I mean, look at their center depth. Are you really going to throw him on that first unit power play? Right now, I'd have him slated on the fourth line. It's not terrible. I mean, he's not going to hurt you terribly, but I just don't see why. And we'll see what happens there with Jumbo Joe in Toronto. And it's tough because you want to see guys like this that have paid the, you know, been in the league for so long, just good people on and off the ice. But then you go to Toronto and you're like, damn it, I don't want to see him win a cup there. So he's kind of screwed that up for the fan bases. NHL fan bases for that. But all right, we'll get into the Oilers forward lines. I got a ton of combinations. I want to get your feedback as well. I'll give you what I have here going forward. You're listening to the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and my personal favorite, carrot cake. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for the keto diet. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. Back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, I'm your host, Hernan Salas, of course, from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. Connect with me on Twitter at Hernan the Man at Locked On Oilers. Not much going on in the world of hockey. All the big signings have already happened. I think we're going to see a little bit of a lull now when it comes to NHL news. We hope not, but it's probably trending that way until we get more clarification on a start of a new season, dates, and all that. So we can kind of prepare for that moving forward. But let's look at your Edmonton Oilers forward lines. Let's have some fun. I want to hear your lines combinations right now as you have it with this roster. For left wingers, I got James Neal, Nugent Hopkins, Tyler Ennis, JJ Kyra, Joachim Nygaard, Tyler Benson. Centers, McDavid, Draisaitl, Kyle Turris, Gaetan Haas, and Kyra, who can also play center. And on the right side, Zach Cassian, Kyler Yamamoto, Josh Archibald, Jesse Puljujärvi, Alex Chiasson, and Patrick Russell. I think the right side's where it's going to get real, real, real exciting. So let's get to it. Obviously, McDavid, top line center. On the right side, Zach Cassian played a lot with him last year. He can protect him. He does all that. He skates well, and he thinks the game well, and he's got some skill to go with kind of that rough game that he does like to play. He disappeared in the playoffs. I don't think anyone would debate that, but I would have Zach Cassian there. Options, let's say 2 and 3. Josh Archibald, who's also played there. He jumped up on that line in the playoffs as well against Chicago. He scored a goal with McDavid, but I prefer Archibald in the bottom six. I prefer Cassian in the bottom six, if I'm being honest, but right now it worked last year. Now, I don't think Cassian's going to get to that same point totals that he did last year. You know, he got a nice contract out of playing with the best player in the world. We'll see how he responds to that, but 15 goals, 34 points before the shutdown, was going to get close to that 20 mark and 40 point mark. So I still keep Zach. Short-term solution, extremely short short term. If it's not going, you got options. You got Archibald or you got Jesse Puljujärvi, who I know he's got to earn it and you can't just give him anything. And it seems like Jesse is the only guy that's ever had to earn a spot. Like I've seen other guys, lesser players, get thrown right into the top six. So I that narrative is getting old with me. If he looks good, give him a shot. Does it hurt? No. So, but I'll go with Zach Cassian. On the left, same thing. I mean, not same thing. I'm keeping Nuge on that sec line, and we'll get to that in a bit here. James Neal, Tyler Ennis. It's a toss-up for me. I like both players. Both bring different elements. Ennis is that little guy, a little skilled, speed forward. You can get in on the forecheck. And James Neal, he's a finisher. And you saw him against Chicago. He was one of their best forwards. He was engaged. He was involved. He was being physical. And coming off 19 goals, would have hit 20 if it wasn't for the stoppage. So for me, right again, short term. I'm going to keep using the word short term because if it's not going, you can flip Ennis in there. But I'm going to start with James Neal there. So my first line is James Neal, Connor McDavid, and Zach Cassian. Second line, simple, man. Dave Tippett, don't screw it up like he did in the playoffs. He waited till 8 minutes left in an elimination game to put him back together. They created, they look good right away. This was the best line from January 1st, 2020 till the COVID stoppage. It was. And they tailed off going into March and they got split up for a bit there, but every line's going to go through that. You're not going to be lights out the whole season. You can switch it up. I get that at times during the season, but in the playoffs, that was unacceptable. And his answer after they got eliminated saying, well, we don't want to be a one-line team. If you have Connor McDavid and he's not part of one of the best lines in hockey at the time, guess what? You're a two-line team because Connor McDavid by himself is dangerous. So I did not like that answer. He cannot screw this up. If these guys are not together at the start of training camp, the Edmonton's going to be up in arms 100%. So go with Nuge, centered by Leon Draisaitl, and to the right color Yamamoto. You have to. There's no other debate. I don't want to hear any other combinations for the Oilers second line. This is it. Leave it alone. Dave Tippett, don't screw it up. To the third line, Kyle Turris was brought in on a two-year deal coming off a couple, well, not a couple, I'd say three bad seasons in Nashville. Only had 9 goals last year, and he admittedly said it didn't work. It just wasn't the right fit, and if you look at that Nashville team, no one was scoring there. Like, the point totals for all their big guys were small last season, but he's going to help. You lose a little bit defensively, yeah, but he's more skilled, and he's not a project. He's a pro who had a couple bad years, but this guy's a professional. He's a veteran. He knows what he knows what it takes to get it done. He knows what he's here to do. I think he'll be fine with the Edmonton Oilers. He won't be asked to do a lot behind all the three big guys, but Kyle Turris on the third line at center, I like it. To the left, I got to go with Tyler Ennis, because for me, it's either Tyler Ennis or James Neal. I'm giving James Neal the nod up in that top line, short term. But I go with Tyler Ennis. There's nothing not to like about this player. He gets in there. He goes to the dirty areas. He can pass. He can shoot. He had an unfortunate injury, but I really like that makeup. I mean, that's a talented duo right there, Turris and Ennis. And then to the right side is where it gets intriguing. I'll say this. You didn't go out and bring Jesse Puljujärvi back, play him on the fourth line or sit him out. Because if you did, then you're doing the same thing you did when he first got here, when he was rushed into the NHL. You did not bring him back for that. So that's the only reason I'm putting him there. I can't see this management or this coaching staff saying, hey, bring Jesse back for 2 years, but we're going to start him on the fourth line or possibly sit him out. And I love Josh Archibald. I do. I think he's a great fit for this team. He's a little spark plug, does it all. But Jesse's not here to play on the fourth line. So that's why I'm going to slide him in there. And that gives you a very nice line. If your top two lines ain't going, because they're going to have nights that they're not going, this is a good line. Ennis, Kyle Turris, and Jesse Puljujärvi. If it's Neal, I'm still okay with that. I'm still okay with that. Jesse's going to play with two veteran guys, skilled guys that can help him. So I like the look of that. Fourth line, what do you do here? You got Chiasson left and Archibald. Listen, I'm picking Archibald over Chiasson all the time. So George Archibald starts on the right wing. When you go to center, it's either Kyra or Haas. I know Kyra is not in the good books here in Edmonton. A lot of the fans are frustrated with him, just don't know what he truly brings to the team. He's a good penalty killer, but just very inconsistent. Is he better at center or is he better at wing? You know, that's a good debate. I truly don't know. He disappears for too many games, and then he shows glimpses of what he can do when he gets physical and he crashes the net and bumps bodies and all that, but he doesn't do that often enough. So I guess it depends who you want there. I mean, I like Gaetan Haas. I think in the limited minutes he does play, he's always noticeable, and you notice him, and it's always good. It's rarely bad. And I like Gaetan Haas, another veteran European guy. I like them more than Joachim Nygaard. But then the other question is Chiasson. He's big on the power play. Him and Neil kind of, you know, flip-flop there. One would start, the one would finish the power play. So I think for that reason, you have to put Chiasson in. So you flip him over to the left side. If he wants, if he can, I'm pretty sure he has played there at times. So I got to go with my wingers on the fourth line as Josh Archibald and Alex Chiasson. Just because Chiasson is a veteran guy and what he means to that power play too. Because he's good on the power. He's good. I'm not the biggest Alex Chiasson guy, but he's good on the power play, and for that reason I think he starts there. Now we're talking about starting the season, guys. Don't come at me with mid-season or a new player, because we don't know that. It's extremely early, so these are extremely early lines that we're creating. And at center, I gotta go with Kyra. I think he gets the bump over Gaetan Haas there for its penalty killing, and just another nice line, like a line that can, you know, hopefully lean on you a bit. You know, or Josh Archibald is not big, but he can go in there and get in on the forecheck. Can be a little pain in the ass. So, and Kyra again, penalty killing. You know, is he more involved when he's playing center? Maybe. And then Chiasson for his power play. And so that leaves out Joachim Nygaard, Gaetan Haas, and Patrick Russell. I had Tyler Benson in there as well, but he's not close, especially on that left side. He's not going to get in there. So he's better off in the minors. You know, he'll be one of the first call-ups for sure. Patrick Russell, he can be your 14th, 15th. He doesn't really do much for me. You know, Tippett loves him. He works his butt off. Great attitude and all that. And he's a guy, a perfect guy that's for that spot where if he doesn't play in 2 months, he's not going to bitch and complain. He's just going to, when he does get called, he's going to go in there and give a solid effort. But, and you get no offense from him and nothing else pretty much. So Patrick Russell for me is further down that list. And then Haas, Nygaard come in. If Kyra struggles, if you need another center. And Joachim Nygaard, I saw some early lines when the bubble playoffs were about to start, and some media had him in the top 9. He had 9 points. He didn't look bad. He was okay in my eyes, but for me, he just doesn't have the finish. You know, many games he had, you would go in all alone or created space. He just doesn't have the finish. He lacks that. Gets around the ice, nice, but you know, if you have no finish, what's really the point? So for me, Joachim Nygaard, he's just like a filler too. If you run into a lot of injuries or you need a spark in your bottom six, like this guy is not a guy I'd play in my top six ever. I don't get the fascination with some of the media and fans with Joachim Nygaard. No, low risk. He's here. If he sits out, he sits out. I prefer Gaetan Haas over him, but those are the three guys I'm sitting out. So my lines, let me know yours on Twitter at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers. If do you think I'm crazy, you can let me know. I don't get offended. It's always good debate. Everybody's going to have different opinions and different line combinations. So I want to hear yours. Let me know. My first line, James Neal, Connor McDavid, Zach Cassian. Second line, Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, Yamamoto. Third line, Tyler Ennis, Kyle Turris, Jesse Puljujärvi. In the fourth line, Alex Chiasson, JJ Kyra, and Josh Archibald. We'll get to the Oilers D-Core next. You're listening to the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. One last segment here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Thank you for listening. Appreciate all the downloads. Of course, I'm your host, Hernan Salas, from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. We just looked at the Oilers forwards line. I know I'm going to get chirped a lot for maybe some of my selections there, but let me know once again on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Let's look at the D-Core right now. On the right side, you got Ethan Bear, Adam Larson, Tyson Berry, Evan Bouchard. On the left, Darnell Nurse, Oscar Klefbom, Caleb Jones, Chris Russell, Willie Lagesson, who is an RFA. Who knows if he's going to be back? And the big question mark here is Oscar Klefbom. I think if Oscar Klefbom's healthy and can play this season, the Oilers definitely upgraded their defense, because then you're adding Tyson Berry, a guy who can move the puck exceptionally well and will probably take over that number one power play quarterback spot for Klefbom. But it seems like Klefbom will miss the entire season. That's what we're going to go with. So Klefbom is out of the Edmonton Oilers lineup for the upcoming season. We won't include him in these pairings, but you got to go with Darnell Nurse. Ethan Bear obviously played most of last season together, looked really good for the most part, had their struggles at times. Ethan Bear in his first year, obviously there was going to be ups and downs, and Darnell Nurse, solid defender, as I've been known as a hater when it comes to this player. And it's not that. I just think he's got all the tools to improve, and he hasn't really taken that leap for me. And I think with Klefbom out this year, because that's what we're expecting, he has to take an enormous leap. And don't bring up his points, and don't bring up how much he scores 5-on-5. I don't care. He has to get better defensively, and the Oilers have to get better defensively, and he's a big part of that. So for me, Darnell Nurse, this is a huge year. He got a lot of money. He signed a 2-year deal, and he wants to keep getting those kind of deals, maybe a long term for more and more money. He's really going to have to improve, because this can go sideways for him too. If he struggles mightily, you know, because he's going to be counted on on a lot. He's going to play a lot of minutes. And we've seen when Darnell Nurse, there's a difference. Darnell Nurse can play 30 minutes a night like Klefbom can in certain nights, but Darnell Nurse is more prone to mistake. He doesn't play as well when he plays too many minutes. I think he's got to be on that lower range. You know, he's going to be up over 20, obviously, but when you start increasing it to 26, 27, 28, Darnell Nurse struggles. So we'll see. Maybe he does take the giant leap that Hernan is expecting, and the Oilers are as well. I mean, he has to improve defensively. This will be your top pairing in my eyes. I mean, I just don't see anyone else. Are they going to play against the other team's top line? And that's the question. So I'll go with Darnell Nurse and Ethan Bear. And then what do you do? Tyson Berry, Adam Larson, both on the right side. Larson's to stay at home. Berry's your offensive guy. And then on the flip side, you got Chris Russell. Good old Chris Russell and Caleb Jones. And I'm leaving Bouchard out because Bouchard's not going to play ahead of Bear, Larson, or Berry. So let's stop that. And Bouchard's not going to be here as a seventh defenseman. He's going to be a first call-up? Yeah, 100%. But he will not be here. So the question is, do you play Barry with Caleb Jones or do you play him with Chris Russell? I'm going to lean towards Chris Russell. So I'd go Barry, Chris Russell. You got one offensive, one defensive. And Chris Russell can play. Trust me, people. He can play. I know contract affects you and him laying on his belly half the time in the defensive zone affects you. I know off the glass and out. You don't like, but there's a player there, and he's been in this league for this long because he is a quality defenseman. Bottom pairing, 100%. Is he playing a little higher or a little too much here in Edmonton? Yeah, but that's the reality of the situation when it comes to the Oilers' D-Core for this upcoming season. He was the best defenseman, I thought, along with Matt Benning in the bubble playoffs. So for me, I'd have to go Barry Russell, because then if you have Caleb Jones up there, oof, I don't know, but they'd have to play softer minutes, and then Barry would get his minutes on the power play, and you don't really want that. And then I'd go Larson and Caleb Jones. I think they've played together a few for some games last season or even this year before. I like Caleb Jones. He came in those qualifying games. He got a 2-year deal as well during the season. And he skates well, moves the puck well. He's a young guy, still learning, you know, still has his struggles on the defensive side and bad pinches and all that. But I really like what I've seen from Caleb Jones. He's got that pedigree, man. This guy's a gamer. So Caleb Jones, and then you go with Adam Larson, who's your stay-at-home veteran guy that can help the young guy, guide him. You got one offensive, one more offensive, I guess, and one defensive. So I'd go, yeah, Nurse, Bear, Russell, Barry, and then Caleb Jones and Adam Larson. The big question is, though, and this is what I want to also hear from you, who would you throw out against the MacKinnon line, the Braden Point, the Pasternak line? Is it as simple as Darnell Nurse and Ethan Bear? If the game is close and towards the end, you're probably sitting one or two of these guys and you're rolling five or four, and then maybe you can throw up, maybe you can go Larson, Russell, and then Barry's your fifth, or you put Larson up with Nurse for a couple of shifts just to shut down that line. And it's going to be interesting to see how Dave Tippett handles that. Willie Lagesson played games last season. He was okay. I mean, he's that AHL, NHL tweener, I think, and he's an RFA. If he resigns, he might be your seventh. And that's why I think that Klefbom money, the Oilers are going to spend it on a defenseman that can come in and play in that 5, 6, 7 spot. You know, sit out if need be, and there won't be too much of an issue there. Ben Hutton, a Madison Bowie, players like that are going to be cheap, that are kind of still, more of a project. Ben Hutton fell out of favor in Vancouver, went to LA, didn't really work out there. Madison Bowie, too, a great junior player, hell of a junior player, and it just hasn't worked out for him. But are those the kind of players the Oilers have to bring in right now to kind of spell off a Caleb Jones if he's struggling, or a Chris Russell, or no, if you deal with injuries? So those are some of the names that I think the Oilers can get. Are they the names that are going to turn this team around? Probably not, but maybe a new home for those players is exactly what they need, and they can get a fresh start here, and something works out. You know, you hit it out of the ballpark with one of those signings. So we'll wait and see what Kenny Holland does there. But just back to the question, who's taking on the other team's top lines? I think it starts and ends with Darnell Nurse and whoever he's playing with, and how Dave Tippett wants to juggle that. And I think Ethan Bear can handle it. He makes subtle little plays, and he's good in his own end getting the puck out, so I think he helps in that aspect, but we'll wait and see. And Barry's obviously going to run the first unit power play. I think the second unit, if and when they get on the ice, it's either going to be between Nurse and Bear. I'd rather you go Bear, because then Nurse is going to be playing those heavy, heavy minutes. Chris Russell and Caleb Jones, yeah, can Chris Russell step up his game? I don't know. He is what he is at this point in his career. I think Caleb Jones can step up his game. I think Larson needs to, and Darnell Nurse big time. And Ethan Bear and Caleb Jones, I'm not going to be too hard on them because they're still young and they're going to have their bumpy roads during the season. You give them a little bit of a break, but the guys that really have to step up here are Nurse and Larson. And Tyson Berry, they didn't bring him in for his defensive game. They brought him in because he moves the puck. He's sharp offensively and the power plays. But those are my pairings. I want to hear yours. I think everybody's going to have the same one as me as for the first one. And it's pretty simple. It's either is it Larson with Russell or Larson with Caleb Jones. And same thing with Tyson Barrie. And is Lagesson back? What's up with Clef? Bouchard will not be here to be the seventh. And I know how much people want to force him into the lineup, but that's not going to happen. And what Kenny Holland is going to do with that Clef bunny, I guarantee you it's going to be a defenseman and one of those guys. I'm not saying it's going to be Hutton or Bowie, but I'm saying it's going to be someone similar to that. Well, I hope you enjoyed some line juggling on the podcast today. Like I said, not much going on in terms of news. It's going to slow down as we had a busy, what was it, 10 days of just trades and signings and all that. And we wait here now as we head into the winter when we'll get news on a new season, how many games, is it going to be a bubble and all that. So definitely some fascinating times to come in terms of NHL news. Let me know your lines. In net, there's no need to talk about it. I don't even want to go there. It's going to be Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith, no matter what, because no one's going to trade for Koskinen, and Mike Smith has no trade. So those are the two guys you're going to live and die with, Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith. All right. Producer Jaime is flashing the red lights. Time to wrap up this edition of the Locked On Oilers podcast. Thank you so much for listening on this Monday. We're back at it tomorrow. Once again, thank you for listening. Remember, you can hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Let me know what you think of the content. If there's a guest that you would like for me to have on the podcast, just let me know on Twitter. Don't forget to subscribe and download on your favorite apps for all the latest episodes. The downloads have been great, and I truly appreciate all the support. For the Locked On Oilers podcast, I'm Hernan the Man, talking Los Petroleros. Have a great Monday. We'll chat tomorrow.